Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in hot. I don't.
Ooh, coming in hot, coming in hot,
what up,
kid? What it do?
What's up?
You coming in hot. That boy Lecrae. You say you Lecrae from the A, right? Coming in hot. Oh, man. Oh, I'm excited. What's up, listeners? How y'all doing? 845-241-9979. Let us know what song y'all would like us to switch that to. Or, you know, Key just told me before we jump on this show, we got to find a new song. So this is your chance to have some input. All right? 845-241-9979. Kia, how are you doing, man?
Yes.
How's everything?
Everything is good. Hot. It's hot,
awesome.
Literally.
Literally it's hot. It's literally hot. And it's like humid here and it's gross, but you know what? I'm inside in the air conditioner. I have a question for the listener. I have a question for you, Kia. Hopefully my wife, she's not in the house yet, so hopefully she's listening in the car. So this is for you. What temperature do y'all keep it at? Keep it in your house. You know, my house is a nice, good old 78 degrees in the house, you know.
Oh, no.
My wife likes it. She thinks that's too cold. She thinks that's too cold. She's straight from the Bay Area, California, so she likes it to be like 92 degrees in the house with a very light breeze. So as soon as she gets in the house, she's going to probably throw on her hoodie and her Uggs, and you swear when she answers the door, it's winter outside. I love you, babe. But you be looking like it's winter outside. So, listeners, call in 845-241-9979. Let us know, number one, what song you would like us to switch our intro to, and also, what temperature do you keep it in your house when it's 92 degrees outside? Kia, what temperature do you keep your house at?
Mine's on a cool 73 right now.
73? You hear that, babe? 73, a cool 73. If I was to ever put my things to 73 degrees, she would probably try to divorce me. Yeah, she won't want that at
well,
all.
Well, you know my motto. Your wife is always right, so.
I know. The wife is always right. And, you know, I live by that. That's why it's 78 degrees in the house with the fan, the air conditioner.
My husband, my husband would just tip the little thing up a little bit at a time. He would never let me keep it 78 degrees in here.
No,
he would turn
trying,
that thermostat.
Man.
He'd be like, "Look, put some clothes on, something. You can put a coat or something like that." I'm gonna tell. He'll say, "I'm gonna turn it on for a little while."
See, what I think that's the answer, right? And I know folks are kind of getting sidetracked because this isn't about firearms or anything like that. But this is about real life situations here. This is how you decide who you're taking with you when stuff hits the fan. You know, this is how you decide, and I don't know, man. I'm living 78-degree life right now, and I need to be living a 73-degree life. I don't know, babe. You might not make the cut. I don't know. But Kia said it's okay.
Oh, she's going to get you when she get home.
I know.
I want her to get you.
I'm here trying to find out how your week was, and you are interjecting all of this nonsense into my lifestyle, talking about 73 degrees. So where's Elliot? Change the subject real quick. Where's Elliot? Let's put it back on him. Where's Elliot? Another day, Elliot's going to be late.
He'll be along momentarily. he'll be along momentarily. He's coming.
Oh, man. Folks, this guy, Elliot, he is a busy man. You know, he's taking on a lot. And still no excuses, E. You should be here on time, sir. So you're going to have to give us 100 push-ups. All right? 100 push-ups, sir.
That's
so what
light
are we talking
work.
About today? I know, right? I don't know. He sprained his ankle walking. He sprained his ankle standing. So I don't know if that's light work for him.
Oh,
I gotta
you got to get it from everybody. You going to get it from him, and you going to get it from your wife, too? Okay.
I know. So what do we got for our listeners? Rachel started to get on. I'm pretty sure
Sergeant, you know, the day ends Firearm Safety Awareness Month. But, of course, our motto? What's our motto?
It's our motto, to be responsible, you have to be informed, that one.
Yeah, but then the fact that, you know, just because we've been saying it all day. So, like, just because today is the last day of Firearm Safety Awareness Month, then it doesn't mean it's the end of firearm safety. So safety should still be your focus, and we're still going to focus on it as well. So
absolutely. Like, folks, don't just think, oh, yay, Firearm Safety Month is over, so I can go back to the range and start flagging people or, you know, just putting my finger on the trigger all crazy willy-nilly, not verifying if your firearm is safe or not. Firearm safety is not about a month. Nowhere. It's not about Special Awareness Month. It's heightened in the month of June for Safety Awareness Month, but it should be something. When you become a gun owner, that is definitely something. But it looks like we got a listener, Kia. We got a listener early. You want to make our listeners hold on for a little bit as we close out what we're saying, or you want to just throw them in?
No, let's hear what our listener has to say. This is why we're doing this. So.
I know. All right. What's going on,
Hello.
Listener? How's everything?
So everything was great. I've got a little bit.
This listener sounds like my wife.
Get him, girl. Get him.
So I got on a couple of minutes late, and so I might have missed the relevancy between firearm safety and the temperature in the house.
What?
I just don't understand. It
was Elliot's fault. Elliot sent me a message and he said, hey, I want to know what's going on, temperature in the house, because it comes down to
Kia, absolutely not. Let me tell you, your husband brought it up, and I want you to get him because he's trying to wiggle his way up out of it. And I told him, you're always right. So if it's 78 in your house, it's 78 in your house.
Oh, man.
I'm
78.
Sorry. I just feel personally attacked. This is where I come to get all of my gun education and safety and all of this information and knowledge. But yet, all I hear is about the temperature in the house. This is completely irrelevant to the show. Can we get back? This is the last month of safety month, right? Is this not the
last
because, day?
That's because listener, I'm not accounting for that, okay? So, listener, just so you know, listener that I have no type of affiliation or attachment with, Perfect Stranger. So one of the things about, if you want to tie back to firearm safety, your ammo must be stored in a cool and dry place, not a hot and dry place, but a cool and dry place. Okay? And
good one, Dwayne. Good one, Dwayne.
Good one, right? Thank you. So we're going to say 78 degrees is working for now, but it's on the cusp of not working too well. So we're good here in the Haynes family. There's no drama, no hostility, none of that stuff. 78 degrees is great, listeners. All right? It's definitely great. All right?
There you go. That's what I like to hear.
There you go.
Now, let's get back to
awesome.
Good.
Okay.
Let's talk about these firearms and safety, okay? You say your business, so, I'll stay in my business on my land, okay?
All right, listener. that I don't know. Where's the other guest? Like, come on, listener.
Oh, I love
845-241-9979. Call in. You can't just let this one. Where's Sarge when you need him? thank you, listener. think you listener got me in trouble. That person.
I told you she was
going to
get you, and you kept talking. I said she's going to get you. You kept talking. There you go.
And you know what? I should have waited till dinner was done. I didn't even wait till dinner was done. I should have probably waited.
let me get you out of trouble. Okay, so let me tell you something interesting.
Yeah.
I told you this month for Firearm Safety Awareness Month, we've been partnering with the local police department. So shout out to the Raleigh Police Department. Thank you so much for reaching out to me and coming in and being a part of my conceal and carry classes this month for the month of June. Thank you so very much. So the one thing that was so interesting about the last class on last Saturday was that, you know, the officer, he was really upfront, really blunt, and he answered a lot of good questions. My class, I mean, they asked them questions, like they didn't hold back. But he did this drill with us, and it's a little game, which I'm going to start implementing in my classes because I think it's so cool. But it's a game you play on your cell phone, but it answers the questions on the screen on his computer. And it was like, identify which gun is real and which gun is not, because they were talking about gun safety for kids and stuff like that. And let me tell you, his pictures, and these are guns that have been confiscated by the police department and stuff like that, and it's amazing, okay, the number of guns that look like real guns, and you could not distinguish them between a real gun or a toy gun. And it was so interesting that we were all sitting there like, let me see that picture again, you know, because it was like, oh my gosh, like these, and the ones we thought were like fake were real, and the ones we thought were real were fake. And it was just like so interesting. So definitely, you know, folks, one thing they did talk about, and if you have young children, and I say this all the time, and I drill it all the time to my students who are parents, don't hide guns from your kids. He played a video for us. A mother thought that she said, oh, no possible way my son knows where I hide my gun. So the camera followed him into the room, and he said, come on, I'll show you. And he took the camera crew right to where his mother hides the gun. She said, how did you know?
Wow.
And he said, I just know. So then they told her, look, well, this is what we're going to do. Maybe by chance he saw it or something like that. He said, when we leave, hide it again, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. And she said, no way he's going to find it this time. Camera crew came back in 2 weeks. She moved it to a totally different place. He found it again. And so it's like you can't hide, even if you think you're hiding guns from your kids, you're not. Because this little boy was like 5 years old, and he knew exactly where his mom hit the gun. He knew exactly. She said she hid it from him after he went to bed. And she said he knew he wasn't up or anything like that. But he knew exactly where she moved the gun when she moved it. And she was like baffled as to how he knew. But kids are very observant. So you have to make sure that even if you're not a gun, if you don't like guns, you have to make sure you stay aware and let, you know, and talk to your kids and see if they have any questions about guns. If the homeowner that they're going to, if they own guns, and if so, say, hey, you know, just kind of get to know and make sure your child knows, look, if something goes off, don't feel right, you call me, you know, and things like that, because it was so, the videos he showed us, they were so amazing. And I just couldn't believe this little kid, he's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
So, it was very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually one of the topics I wanted to cover today, too. It's, you know, I don't know if you've heard, or if our listeners have heard, about the teen that was shot dead after aiming a toy gun at a Maryland State Police trooper. And this was sometime like the middle of April. I'm so mad that I missed this. I heard about it, but I didn't really track it. And, of course, the first response to the public is always anger, right? And again, folks, I have no hatred towards law enforcement now. Are they bad apples? Yes, that's like any other job out there. In my personal opinion, as soon as a good cop or a cop breaks the law, I take that cop stripe away, and he's just a bad person that just happened to be a cop. That's my personal stance. But, you know, this cop showed up to a call where someone in the neighborhood called saying that there's a guy acting suspicious and probably armed with a gun. And he showed up and arrived to find the teen in a driveway, and the teen pointed the gun at him. So what would a cop do? That's a direct threat. You don't point any gun at a cop. Any gun. You know, he didn't point a knife. He didn't throw a rock. He pointed a gun, straight pointed at the cop, and the cop shot, wounding the kid who, from the article, said he eventually died from his wounds. But, you know, they searched him and found out that it was an airsoft gun, a replica. They didn't say what type of replica, but it was an airsoft gun. And, you know, and he had a knife on him as well. It doesn't matter, even if it was, and, you know, you've seen real guns, I mean, fake guns that look real, but it's also real guns that look
right.
I grew up in an era where bad guys in New York used to run around with guns that had orange tips, because back then BB guns used to be legal. Airsoft wasn't really a thing, at least I didn't know, but BB guns used to be legal, or toy guns, you know, used to be legal. And this was before they made it a law to have to paint the front of every toy gun, in certain New York at least, orange, you know. And bad guys used to run around with the tip of their gun orange. That way if somebody saw it, oh, it's a fake gun, it's a toy, and they'll just be keep on going. So again, when I first heard this story, the outcry from the community was another police shooting and blah 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 blah. But when you read the details, this was just an unfortunate scenario that the cop did his job, and it was unfortunate that a teenager lost his life. But going back to what you said, Kia, is don't make sure that you're teaching your kids right when it comes down to just gun safety. If you have a firearm in your house, don't hide it. You know, you can put it away for safety, but don't hide the knowledge of it being in the home from your kid, because that's going to open up curiosity. Before you even bring a firearm into the home, have a talk with your kid. You can kind of know what, you know, the maturity level of your kid, you know. And I would say in some instances, when you get introduced to your gun, take them to the, if they're old enough, of course, take them to the gun store with you so that they see that this is an actual process. You know, it's not, let me go to the candy store, let me get that shotgun and that handgun, and you walk out and, you know, it's like buying candy. You know, let them see that this is the actual responsible process. You have to show your ID. You have to make sure the only reason mommy and daddy can buy this firearm is because guess what? We did everything the right way, and we don't have anything on our records. I shared that with my nephew. You know, the only reason I can do this, I can go into the gun store and I can get approved. No issue. See that guy over there? He can't get approved because he did something in his past that's coming back to bite him in the butt. And that's one thing you don't want to not have access to, your Second Amendment rights. You don't want to not have access to that, because that is how you protect yourself. You can protect yourself with knives or whatever, but it's how you even the playing field in those God forbid situations, right? So, folks, teach your kids better. You know, if you think that you have that teenager, you know, don't just, like my nephew, he's 16, and I have a couple airsoft guns in the house. And guess what? He don't go around playing with them because he knows they're to be treated as their real guns. Because guess what, folks?
Right.
They are real guns. They shoot a real projectile. The projectile might not be coming out with enough force to penetrate my skin. But guess what? If it hits a little baby in the right part, it may, who knows what happens? You know, it may fracture
a
rib
or something. If it hits you in the eye, or something like that.
If it hits you in the eye, if it hits them in the throat, it still shoots a projectile. So I love the fact that you brought that up, Kia. I think that drill that he had you guys do was awesome. When you get that information, please share that with me, because that's something I would love to do on my class. You know, tell me which gun is real, or tell me which gun is fake. Can you tell the difference? At least, you know, pick one, real, fake. Let's put it in place and see what you think. And if you can share that video that he showed where the kid went and was able to get the gun, I think that's great for upcoming. Family sessions
I'll definitely share that and do that, because like I said, it's when we did the gun exercise, I think it was like a wake-up call to my class, like, hey, well, maybe, you know, I'm not saying, hey, shootings are justified. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we can't sit here with a minute and a half to look at the gun, right, not spur the moment, not last minute, right, if we can't distinguish a real gun, and we're using guns every day, okay, pretty much, or we're around guns or studying something about guns, so, and we can't figure it out, why, I mean, you know, we have to sometimes look at the totality of the situation,
before we pass judgment on certain things, because some of those those guns that were toys, I picked as a real gun, right? And I'm, okay, hello, I'm the instructor. You know, but it's like, you know, hey, and I let them know I got it wrong too, you know, because we're sitting there looking at it, but it's just hard to tell sometimes. So I know SIG has an airsoft pistol that looks just like, I mean, it's an exact replica, you know. So you really can't tell. And sometimes, like I said, you just got to look at the totality of the situation before we start passing judgment, because, first of all, the first thing we should teach our kids is never to point a gun at anybody, be it law enforcement or the little brother. It doesn't matter. So, you know, some things are just common sense. So.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, unfortunately, I'm old school. I put stuff back on the parents, man. You know, until your kid gets to a certain age, you're the parent. That kid is your responsibility. And it's a tough one because, you know, at some point, you know, these kids, they have their own minds, you know, and it's a struggle to kind of still have them see it your way. But there's certain things that if we start instilling in them from a very young age, hopefully it becomes just second nature. My nephew, I'm so proud of him. Both my kids, I'm proud of them, but my 5-year-old nephew, you know, if he's in a car, I know he's probably in a car with my wife and my sister listening. So, hey, Chase, hey, Aiden, hey, Zoe. He's 5, but he knows, hey, I do little sessions with him here and there to teach him gun safety, and he has his little toy gun, but to him it's not a toy because he knows that's Uncle's training gun. It's a colorful gun. I think you've seen it. It's one of those guns that shoots a little soft round when
the
it comes
foam,
out.
The foam bullet.
Toy gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to him, because when it first came into the house, I said, hey, this is not a toy. This is Uncle's training gun. And he knows that. So when he sees that gun, I can put it on the ground, and any other kid will run in and grab it because it looks like a toy. It's colorful. He knows that is Uncle's gun. That's real. And he'll come to me, Uncle, why is the gun on the ground? What's going on? He'll dig in on me. And I also have some airsoft Glock replicas that I'm telling you. One of them, the magazine comes out, it's weighted. It takes apart so you can teach students how to clean it. It's that detail. The slide goes back. It locks back. It drops when loaded. It locks back on empty. It is very detailed. And when it shoots, without any ears on it, sound like a faint 22, you know? So it's very detailed, and that's one of the guns that I introduced to him as well, not for the sake of shooting it, but for the sake of this is what real guns look like. They're not colorful. They're black. I don't want him to think they're black and scary. You know, it's just that this is
right.
I want him to know your real gun. This is what it looks like. What do you do? And he knows, get an adult. Don't get older brother or older cousins. No, get an adult and have them remove that firearm because there's kids around. And then, you know, I'm taking his training to another level where I'll let him hold the firearm, not the real ones yet. But, you know, and the first thing he does, he points it down. And I said, well, Chase, why are you pointing it down? Because, Uncle, you're not supposed to point a gun at anybody or anything. It's always supposed to be pointed down.
Good job,
and I said,
Chase.
You know what? Good job, Chase. You know, and my son knows this, and, you know, shout out to Aiden, he knows this, my daughter knows this, shout out to her, but it's so amazing that this 5-year-old gets it, but then you, me, Elias, and our listeners, we can go on YouTube and see these grown adults that don't get it. You know, they'll point their gun. I just seen this video yesterday, and it was this lady, she was at a range, and the one thing she was doing that I absolutely hate, she was at a range with an instructor, and she had her phone propped up, showing her live Instagram or live Facebook or whatever she was doing live, and the instructor is going through the safety, you know, how to grip, and she turns the gun and points it behind her so that she can show the grip to the live. Man, when I tell you that instructor grabbed the hell out of that gun, when I find that video, I'm going to send it out to you, Kia. But, you know, little things like that.
Yeah, I probably would have ended the session.
I would have probably ended the session too, because she's not doing it because she don't know any better. She's doing this so she can get more likes or whatever. I don't know. Who tell them come down and get a training. But no, I love that. And that kind of ties in to, you know, again, even though we're closing out June as a Firearm Safety Awareness Month, firearm safety don't stop. All right? It do not stop. And guess what? Firearm safety is not only about when you have the firearm in your hand. It starts before you even purchase that firearm. You know, identifying your environment to make sure that this gun is good enough to bring home. What type of gun? You know, I shared many shows ago, a couple shows ago, that my wife and I, our first gun, had a safety because we didn't know much about guns. So we was like, before we introduced the kid, we want to make sure we get everything down pat. We need a safety just in case. We need all these different things. Now, none of our guns have safety, you know? So
right.
I love it, Kia. Love it, love it. What else you got for us? What else you got for us to close out this beautiful June? Today's the last day of June, right? Tomorrow's the first? 30 days in June, something like that?
Tomorrow's July 1st. Yeah,
tomorrow's the first.
So I have a question
you
for you that came up in my class.
What?
Huh? You
hit
said
me.
What?
Hit me with this question.
No, what'd you say?
No, go ahead. Hit me with your question.
No, what'd you say?
I was about to ask you what you had planned, but no, hit me with your question. We can always come back to what you have planned for the 4th.
Yeah, then we come back to 4th of July. So listen,
One
of my students, remember we had, you had asked a question one time. You said, what is your home defense? What's your choice of home defense? Remember you said asked that?
Yep.
And then everybody, I think maybe we had a caller that said an AR shotgun, something like that. But anyway, and I know I said my handgun, but my student asked, he said in a home defense situation, he lives in, you know, in a subdivision where his neighbor's home is like maybe a few feet from his home, knowing that we know that bullets can travel, right? He said, so what should I use for my home defense? What will be your answer if that came up in your class, Dwayne?
I would say home defense, knowing that you have neighbors to the right and your left, I would always start with whatever you get comfortable with, right? Because over-penetration is going to happen at some point. But I will probably lead with a shotgun and birdshot, you know, or low double up butt, you know, maybe some with the smaller BBs. That's probably what I would lean with. If you want to go with the handgun style, I would say any of the revolvers that utilizes 410 shotgun shells. I know there's the governor and there's also the judge that utilizes 410 shotgun shells. You can put some birdshot or you can put some buckshot in there as well. Those are probably what I would aim with, lead with. But I would also say for you, sir, or ma'am, the men and women out there that live in those situations, you also got to become a much better shot as well, you know, and definitely train for under pressure, you know,
right.
A little bit more than the regular person because the pressure is going to be there. That's the one thing that you can't 100% replicate. You can try, you know, but you can't 100% replicate it, right? You can think you're getting close, but you don't know how you're going to react until you're in the moment. I would say practice shooting, you know, go to outdoor range, set up something that looks like a hallway, and shoot. And see how quick you can shoot at a target in a certain amount of time on not hitting no bullseye, but center mass. Can you identify?
Right.
Take a nighttime class. You know, there's a lot of classes that offer nighttime low visibility options. I don't offer anything like that. You know, hopefully in the future I can offer something like that. But it's classes that you can do at indoor ranges, outdoor ranges that do low visibility training. I would say for those listeners that are very concerned with over-penetration because the neighbors are literally right on top of them, below them or to the left or right of them, take those classes as well. That way you can identify a threat, you know, identify a threat. I'll say go with a round that doesn't over-penetrate something. If you're going to do an AR, something like a 300 blackout, you know, that's for close quarters. Make sure that whatever you use for your home defense, though, if it's not a shotgun, you're using hollow tip, you know, hollow pointed,
right.
Hollow points. right? Yep. Because you definitely don't want over-penetration, right? You definitely don't want over-penetration. And I would say come up with a – don't let your defense plan be, hey, someone kicks in the door, I grab my gun, and I'm shooting. No, your defense plan might actually be have to be a little bit more detailed than that. You know, you may have to change around your living room or something like that. You may have to really focus on that deter part, you know, or do you have cameras up? Is there anything between if someone kicks in your door to them getting into the central part of your living space? You know, what do you have in place if someone breaks in a window? How much time do you have from breach to alert? You know, that's still something that we're working on here in my household. So those are the things that I would have told them. But when it comes down to firearm, I would say shotgun. Not a short barrel shotgun, because that differs from state to state. But I'll say a shotgun at exactly legal length. You know, I want to say legal length for shotgun, if I'm not mistaken, is 18 inches, if I'm not mistaken. Legal length shotgun, that's what you want to have. That way you can maneuver in the hallway. I would pack it with birdshot, buckshot, and then have a slug at the very end, because that right there, if I have to get to that slug, that means at that point, I don't care what's behind that wall. That's the reality. You know, you're probably going to go through six rounds. That's the good thing about shooting the shotgun. You can pace yourself. With a handgun, is you draw, the average amount of shots fired in self-defense is 5. You draw, pop, 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 you probably hit 2. With a shotgun, you have to, you know, you have to load it manually, especially if you get the pump. You have to pump it, right? So that actually gives you time to slow down and assess the situation. So that's what I would tell them. I know it's a lot, but I would say shotgun, birdshot, buckshot, buckshot, or birdshot, buckshot, slug, something like that, a mixture of that.
And that's basically the same thing we talked about. We had a whole class discussion so that everybody, you know, everybody had weighed in. And all the things you mentioned are all the things that we were talking about, you know, about the bird shots, the birds are alternating. So, yeah, so that's good, but that's something that I don't think people really think about, especially in an apartment,
not at all.
You know, situation, or in a situation you would think in your home, okay, I can defend my home. I don't live in an apartment. But then we talked about the fact that, hey, bullets can travel, you know. And so that's how that question came up. So I thought that was very interesting. It made us kind of think, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. That's actually a question I don't get a whole lot in my classes, but I'm going to make a point to bring that up, you know, towards the end of my class when I'm talking more about defending the home part and why you're getting this concealed, or why you're here in my basic handgun class, you know, my basic firearms class. That's definitely – I like that topic. That's actually – you hit it right on the head. Not a lot of people take the time to – analyze their situation. They say, I want a gun, and I'm going to go buy a Glock, or I'm going to go buy AR, or I'm going to go buy this because a friend or family member or TV, that's the worst part, recommended it, right? Even us.
Right.
Sometimes we can recommend, but we don't know your situation. I have a part in my class where I always say, when it's time to choose your firearm, base it off your environment, number one. You have to base it off your environment. Do you have kids? Do you have a felon in your home? These are the different things, you know. Next door, do you have a family member in your home that don't like guns? You know, how do you introduce this to them? You know, these are things that you got to do before you decide on what gun you want to go with. Okay, so now you've decided. Are you going handgun? What's the pros and cons with you going handgun? You know, I'm concealed right now in my home. You know, but if I'm in, you know, because it's easier for me to tote around versus my home defense. My home defense firearm is a shotgun. You know, God forbid,
right,
I'm ever in a situation where I need to utilize my firearm. If I have enough time, I'm going straight to my shotgun. And my shotgun is loaded a little bit different because I don't have someone to the right or to the left of me that I have to really worry about over-penetration. But my home defense plan kicks in because our rooms are next to each other, but they have to walk past my kids' rooms before they get to our room. You know, so if someone is in my room and I draw my shotgun and I have time to get my shotgun, I have to be conscious of where I'm, if I do have to let off a shot, I have to be super conscious of where I'm going to shoot. I can't just shoot blindly. Did you hear about the lady that she actually shot her son trying to shoot a dog. So apparently this guy opened up his door, his dog jumped, ran outside. You know, and it seemed like it was innocent. I understand why she did what she did. I really could, because you can't really, you can't tell someone that they weren't afraid or they didn't have a right to be afraid. You know, it's a big old pit bull, runs outside, and pit bulls are known for being aggressive dogs. And not all of them are. They're actually super loving dogs, but if you don't know this dog, then you have to assume that they're aggressive, right? So for our listeners out there, the gentleman opened his door, a pit bull ran out, so he's like calling his dog because it jetted off. And I guess there was a lady, another gentleman, I don't know if it was a spouse or whatever, but the kid was there. She drew her firearm, and she started shooting at the dog. And she hit her kid by mistake. You know, the dog ran back in the house, he went back in the house. But situations like that is, what's one of the rules? One of the safety rules, Kaya, know your target and what's beyond it. That went right out the door for her. You know, that went right out the door for her. You know, so she looked at her threat, which was this dog, and she was trying to shoot a moving target. Folks, this is not the movie. Shooting a moving target is not easy. Well, let me rephrase that. Shooting a moving target that's predictable is easy. You just have to predict where it's going to be when it's going to be there. You can time that. It's going left, right, 2 seconds, bang. I can hit that because it's predictable. But when you're shooting a person, stuff you see in TVs where they perfectly shoot out the tire on the first try, you're like, wow, that's real. No, shooting a person, you know, with headshots, I see a lot of people practicing headshots. That's a small target. You're not going to be able to hit that as perfect as you would in the range in a defense situation. But she was trying to shoot this small moving target, which is a dog, and she hit her kid because she didn't pay attention to that one rule. And I said all that to say that kind of goes back to in the home. When you draw your firearm to use it in self-defense, have you already thought through what's about to happen next? You have to. You have to train yourself to mentally be prepared for you pulling that trigger and what could possibly happen next. You know, and in her case, I'm pretty sure she had no idea that morning or afternoon, she thought she would have been defending her kid against a dog and shoot her kid by mistake, you know. So, I love that question. I'm definitely going to be stealing that and tossing that in one of my classes because that's a great question.
It sparked a lot of conversation in my class, and we got a chance to really talk about it and dig into it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, I just got this message from E. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot is not making the show tonight. Here I am looking at the time, and I didn't even realize that our one and only Elliot is not going to make it. Elliot, I hope you're listening. Hope you're listening, sir. We miss you, man. That's all I'm going to say. We miss you, E. We miss you, bro. We miss you, man. I wanted to bring something else, too, you know, and this kind of goes back to just, you know, firearm safety, right? How it's not just a June thing. So I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners have. And listeners, 845-241-9979. If I said that too fast, 845-241-9979. Call in. We would love to hear from you. Chime in on any of our safety, topic around gun safety. Let us know what are some of your takes on, you know, gun safety. How do you secure your firearm in your homes? You know, we would love to hear that. But I'm pretty sure, Kia, you've heard about the Colorado man who intervened after ambush on officer and was killed. He was shot by the police officer. Unfortunately, he died. Did you hear about that particular story?
I heard a little
story?
Bit. I didn't dig into it. I heard a little bit about it. Mm-hmm.
So this is great because this also ties back to, you know, gun safety, you know. So there's a Colorado man, and I'm not going to use it. Well, I can use it. Let me see. Yep, his name is John Hurley because he used it, so I'm going to go ahead and use it. Mr. Hurley. Again, sorry to the Hurley family for their loss. He definitely was a hero because who knows how much lives he saved that day. So, Mr. Hurley, thank you for your I don't really like saying thank you for your sacrifice. So, your family, the Hurley family, we're sorry for your loss. But, you know, Mr. Hurley, pretty much the story started where a guy ran up on a cop and, you know, walked up behind a cop with a shotgun, whistled or called to the cop. Cop turned around. He shot the cop a couple times with a shotgun. Cop dropped. The guy went back. The shooter went back to his truck, put away the shotgun, and grabs an AR-15 and started heading back out to the square.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, that's where bystander Mr. Hurley, he's a young guy too, he's 40. He drew his handgun and he shot the suspect, putting the suspect down. So stopping him from shooting anyone else, right? Now,
right.
That's where he's deemed as a hero. The sad part is he picked up the AR-15. He didn't just kick it to the side. He picked it up. And a responding officer that came in, all they saw was this gentleman had an AR-15 in his hand, and the reports made back to the cops was cop down, suspect holding AR-15, active shooter. So he was shot by the responding officer, and unfortunately, Mr. Hurley died from his injury. So again, it's a very, very sad story, but, you know, to me, this ties back to, you know, firearm safety awareness, you know, and one of the things that I teach in my class is if you're ever in a situation to where you, God forbid, have to utilize a firearm, when that call goes across the radio to 911, again, folks, this is nothing like the movies. In the movies, Kia,
right.
What do we see? We hear we actually hear the person making the call on the phone with the cop responding to the call, thinking that's a 911 call. But it's so much layers in between, right? So a person calls 911, the 911 dispatcher picks up. The dispatcher calls, I guess, the main station, which that dispatcher now dispatches cop, right? So when the dispatcher here, their shots fired, and they're on the phone with you, you're telling what's going on, a lot of times that information do not make it to the responding officer. They don't just have an open radio that they're hearing this conversation back and forth, because guess what? It's not just one cop that's responding. It's multiple cops, multiple units that are responding. This is not the movies. In the movies, the one unit that's responding, they hear everything. They hear, you know, Kia said that the guy is in a black shirt. He just ran around the corner. Nope, he just ran upstairs, and Kia has her gun. So, guys, when you get there, Kia's going to be the good guy with the gun. They don't hear all of that. They hear shots fired. In this case, shots fired, officer down. Guy with, and I'm going to say this for this term, assault rifle. So, again, how do you think these cops are going to show up? They're going to show up extremely high-end.
Guns out.
Ready to go to protect. Guns ablaze and guns ready. Unfortunately, as they should, because they want to make sure that they already lost one person. Unfortunately, it was a cop, and they don't want to lose any more lives. So I'm saying all this to say that, folks, if you have to utilize your firearm in a self-defense situation, there's a couple of things you need to do, right? Number one, after you've assessed the situation and make sure that it is safe to do so, and the threat is neutralized, clear your firearm, put your gun down.
Yep.
Okay? I know I had a student tell me, you know, that is the one thing, because guess what? When they come in, the only person that can vouch for you per se is the person you are possibly on the phone with, which is 911. Guess who you're not talking to? One of those 10 cops showing up. Okay? That is the safest thing to do. If you happen to stop a threat that had a firearm, do you pick it up and move it? Do you kick it to the
Absolutely
side?
Absolutely not.
That's evidence. You know, that is evidence. Kick it to the side. If it's within reach of the suspect or the threat that you just neutralized, kick it away. And that's the one thing I would say that you see in movies, that I would say that if you can safely do so, kick it away, right? And I had a student say, well, Dwayne, your thing is once the threat is neutralized, you're supposed to get out of Dodge. You're not supposed to hold someone at gunpoint. You're supposed to – why did you pull a firearm? Your life was in danger. Threat's neutralized. Is your life in danger? All right, get to safety.
Right.
You know, get to safety. If you're in your home, find a safe place within your home or outside or whatever you consider safe, and you bunker down there until law enforcement comes. I had a student say, well, Dwayne, what if I go for safety and I'm safe, but this bad guy picks up the gun and runs off? Well, that is no longer your concern.
That's right.
He's going to end up
no
in a hospital somewhere. Are you safe? Absolutely. Did the cops shoot, you know, did the cops catch you in a compromising situation to where they have to, you know, draw their guns on you? No. You know, so what do you think of situations like that, Kia, in a self-defense situation? What do you share with your students in situations like that?
The exact same thing. I tell them, you know, number one, you know, once everything is, you know, is safe and everything is done and you're, you know that help is on the way, I tell my students to set your gun to clear, put it down on the ground, not in reach of the suspect, of course, and
of course,
put your hands up and wait for the officers to arrive, because when you start hearing the sirens or you see the officers, put your hands up. And I also let them know that, you know, you're probably going to be treated like the suspect.
Absolutely.
Until they figure out what's going on. And you might be handcuffed, maybe put in the car, you may be thrown around or tossed around a little bit or whatever. But no, it's because they don't know. They're just arriving on the scene and don't know. And so pretty much the same things you just said. I tell my class the exact same thing.
Yeah, and I definitely shared it. And I know I shared this a couple shows ago, but I think it's something that I would love to go over again, the six things you didn't know would happen when a police arrive after an incident. I'm ready to hear these six things, Kia, because I'm going to want you to chime in on each and every one of them.
Well, go ahead and write.
All right. You ready for them? All right. So you just defended yourself. Just defended yourself, you know, you're glad you took that training from point blank, and you're like, you know what, I'm so glad I knew how to utilize my firearm in a safe manner and I was able to defend myself. So, call 911, because, Kia, when do you call 911? Before you're safe or after you're safe?
After you're safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, do not, especially in an active shooter situation, you know, again, don't pay attention to the movies, folks. In the movies, you see everyone grabbing their phone, calling 911. No, your number one job is to get to safety. Once you get to safety, then you call 911 and say, hey, this is what's going on. Because they're going to say, are you safe? And you're going to say, yes, for now. All right? So the first thing you want to do is get to a safe location. If someone kicks in your door, the first thing you definitely shouldn't do is pick up the phone or call 911 before you even decide you want to run. No, you're giving them time. You got to create some sort of distance. All right, so we already established that you've defended yourself. So now, once you defend yourself, you want to go ahead and call 911. When you call 911, what does that call sound like? Do you say, hey, I just shot a man. You know, what does that call sound like here?
Absolutely
not.
There's been a shooting.
I just shot someone.
There's been a shooting.
Okay. What else? What else would you add to that?
Just where you are, the description of the person that was shot, and that's about it. And if you feel like the person is, if you know the person is alive or whatever, I mean, just the descriptive information they can get to you. But I would definitely not call and say I shot someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the things that you can definitely do on top of that is you call 911 for sure, right? And you explain, hey, I was attacked. And some of the key words, I feared for my life and had to defend myself. All right? Fear for your life, because that's the only reason that most states would accept a thing for self-defense is if you feared for your life and you was forced to defend yourself, right? And you want to request both the police and the ambulance to your location. Chances are if neighbors heard shots fired, someone would have called the cops, but you also want to say, please send both the law enforcement and ambulance, all right? Definitely want to make sure you do that. And then once you do that, guess what? Once they show up, guess what happens next? Like Kia say, Make sure you don't have your gun in your hand, folks. Don't let these cops show up to your place after you just saved your life or your family or whatever, and you have a gun on you. Because guess what? They don't know who the bad guy is. They still have to go through everything and figure out who's the bad guy here, okay? So don't have your gun in your hand talking about waving it, hey, I'm over here. No, you're a possible threat, okay? All they know is that shots been fired. You requested police and ambulance. They don't know what they're walking into, okay? Remember that. The dispatcher does because you're on the phone with the dispatcher. But they don't know what they're walking into. So they're coming in guns ready because they heard shots been fired. So number one, more than likely you will be detained and possibly arrested. Because, again, they don't know what's going on, right? You will likely be placed in handcuffs, though you will not necessarily be under arrest, but you will more than likely be taken into police custody, all right? When that happens, do keep in mind that, like Kia said, you want to make sure you show hands. Hands is what everybody looks at, right? That's the threat. You can't shoot nobody with your feet. You know, somebody told me that recently. They're not looking at your feet. They're looking at your hands. They want to be able to see clear hands, right? So make sure your hands are very, very visible. And you let them know, hey, I'm not armed, but chances are you're going to end up on the floor, okay? They're going to probably put you on the floor. They're going to put cuffs on you. They're going to drag you to the police car. Again, folks, this is not like the movies where they come in and they know that Key is the good guy.
They pat you on the back.
Yeah, they pat you on the back. Like, good job, Kia. You know, I would have did the same thing. And they ride off in the sunset with the body in the back of the ambulance, and Kia's in front of her lawn talking about, I'm glad I took that point-blank class. You know, this is not the movies, folks. That is not how this is going to pan out. So chances are you will be detained and possibly arrested. But remember, you feared for your life. That's why all of this happened. You defended yourself, your family, because you feared for your life. Kia, if they ask you, tell me what happened. Are you telling them what happened? What are you telling me?
I'll be more than glad to cooperate with you. I just want to talk to my attorney. I want my attorney to be present.
That's it. I love the way you said it. That's simple. Again, these movies, don't let these movies get you all beat up. I'm not saying beat up. That just sounds so bad. Don't let these movies get y'all in situations that y'all only see in Law and Order. You know, of course the cop is going to want to know what goes on. But it's how you tell them. You don't have to be nasty. Like, I need to talk to my lawyer. You don't have to be nasty. You say, look, I'm more than welcome to cooperate. But before I do so, I really need to talk to my lawyer. Well, that sounds like you got something to hide. I don't have anything to hide. Like I said, I'm willing to cooperate. But before I say anything, I need to talk to my lawyer. Because guess what? Who knows what you're going to ramble on and say? You have a lot of adrenaline pumping in you, right? You have a lot of adrenaline. You could have said, as soon as I saw him, I shot him. Guess what? That it probably didn't even play out like that. You know, but if you say it like that, that means you didn't try to avoid in some states, of course. You know, who knows what that really meant? But you talking to your lawyer, you're going to get your memory jogged of what really happened, you know, because it's a traumatizing – you just went through a traumatizing situation. Unfortunately, law enforcement they're on the scene right there, want answers right now. It's not being treated like it's a traumatizing situation, right? It's being treated as we need to find out who the good guy, bad guy is right now. What did you do? Why did you do it? But when they're in a situation where it's a police-related shooting, they have time to all their situations get time to play out and be broken down. So, like Kia said, ask for your lawyer. So you will be detained, possibly arrested. Ask for your lawyer. Number two, your gun will likely be seized and held as evidence. Folks, you just shot someone or probably killed someone. That's the gun that's used in a crime. They're going to hold that for evidence. So you know what I tell all my students, Kia?
I had a police officer in my class say it will not possibly, it will be confiscated. He said it will be confiscated.
Yeah, it will be, right? It is going to be confiscated. It is going to be confiscated. And depending on what state you're in, you may not get that gun back. So that $1,400 1911 that you just put an additional $2,000 into getting it nickel-plated or gold-plated or whatever you just got done to it, putting all these fancy gadgets and stuff on there, guess what? That's going right there in evidence locker, and you may or may not get it back. They said it's going to be confiscated. Again, this is not the movie. They don't look at a gun and be like, huh, this is what you shot him with, huh? Glock 19X,
well,
this
back.
Is a nice one. Here you go.
Hold this
take
until
it back.
Hold mm-hmm. until the investigation is over, you know.
Right? call that number. Sorry, I got a message saying that we have someone trying to call in. I think my mom is trying to call in, right? My mom. I think she just
called in, so let's see
what she got to say. I know, folks, this is not my mom. All right, not my mom, listeners.
okay.
Hello, caller. That is not my mom.
No.
Hi, not Dwayne's mom.
Hi, I'm listening, but I've never said anything. And I just to let you know, I'm strongly against guns.
Yes, Dwayne told us.
But no, the reason why I'm calling tonight, today I heard, I don't know if y'all heard about it, where this man shot somebody for going to his daughter's bedroom. I don't know if you can pull it up and hear it, but the person was like a peeping Tom or whatever, and he decided to shoot the person. And, you know, some clarification, some insight of, you know, what went wrong and what he should have done might be something that other listeners would love to hear.
Oh, no, I'm looking at it right now.
Other things they could have done instead of shooting the person that was peeping through the window?
Yes, because he was, he was in Texas. I remember when they say Texas have strange gun laws, so that's what I remember is Texas. But it did happen. It flashed twice on my phone, and I think I heard it on the news television that he was peeping. Some guy was peeping through his daughter's bedroom, and he shot the guy. That's all the news I got. So I figured that's something that y'all can pull up and, you know, talk about.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling it up right now.
Right. So I think that is something that you can speak about.
Okay.
Mom, I have a question for you, Mom.
Not Dwayne's mom.
Not Dwayne's mom. I have a question for you. You're not going to allow your son to teach you how to defend yourself or shoot a gun?
No, this is as close as I'm getting. I don't even go to Dwayne's house that much no more. He wanted to talk about some parents who wouldn't come to their house. He was speaking about me, but he didn't tell you that. I support him because I understand what he's saying and I listen to the show. But I'm old school, and I believe the Almighty would protect me. I don't think I need no gun to do nothing because I think the gun will kill me. I listen to your color codes, and I can go black in a second. Because I was I do listen to, and I try to tell people about the show because I think it's very informative and, you know, it's really thing. But I just had to call in to say that tonight. So you have to check it out, and maybe the other listeners may not have heard about it, and then you can enlighten them as what dish, you know, what it could have been done instead of shooting the guy. If he died, I didn't know that. I just know he shot the guy, and it was in Texas. So, and I would like to hear your feedback on that also. Okay, bye.
Oh yeah, I'll just pull it up, Key, and I'll throw it out there.
Yeah, I pulled it up. I pulled it up as well. Thank you.
Thank you, not Dwayne's mom. Just so you know, not Dwayne's mom, you were actually on what was considered the number one show, the number one streaming show on this platform two weeks in a row. And, Mom, you actually got a chance to talk to some very elite people. So congratulations, and thank you for calling in, not Dwayne's mom. No, thanks, Mom, for calling in. My mom, she is not about the gun life whatsoever. It's a hurdle that we're slowly getting over. And one of the things that we had spoke to a bunch of shows back was respecting each other, right? So a lot of time you find those gun-toting folks that That's all. They're busy trying to convince you why the gun. And you have these people that are trying to convince you why not the gun. And they never meet in the middle. So my mom and I, we kind of met in the middle. She knows what I'm doing. She knows why I'm doing it. She accepts why I'm doing it. And I don't disrespect her and put it in her face. Like, she's never seen my concealed. I'm concealed every time I go to her house, and she knows it. If you didn't know it, Mom, now you do. But I never showed them. She told me we took a trip to Vegas that I told listeners about a while ago, and I was concealed the entire time. Do you know when she found out that we were concealed? On our show when I told the listeners. So she had no idea, and that's because I respect the fact that she's not a gun person. I would love to someday shoot with her so she can see, you know, it's not nothing to be afraid of, but I also won't force it. You know, I'll let it come naturally. And this is the closest.
And that's how we had this conversation. My mother is the exact same way. My mother is 100%. She sends people to my classes and everything, but she will not shoot. And I respect this. It's the exact same way. I respect my mom, and she's just not going to do it. It's nothing I can do to make her change her mind at this point.
Yeah, nothing at all. You know, they're set in their ways. I just want you to know, Mom, if there's ever a situation where you are the only one left to protect this household, you better pick that firearm up and get over here somehow. You better free us. So, and
Dwayne, you're
in
enough trouble. You better stop it. You're in enough trouble.
I didn't stop it. Let me stop it. But what do you think of this story? I just read a little bit about it. You want to share it with our listeners?
Sure. So apparently, you want to talk about it or you want me to talk about it?
No. You got this. You got this.
So a couple of days ago, apparently in Texas, a man was caught staring through a 10-year-old's window. And when the father found out, he chased the man. Now, in that situation, you're not allowed to chase anyone down, right? If he was going to get him, he should have got him right through the window. But, I know that in North Carolina, you can't be chasing people down vigilante style and shooting people that committed a crime against you or whatever. You can't chase them. So I guess if I went and just not digging too deep into the story, just looking at the surface. So apparently the man apologized and walked away as the mother and father tried to detain him. So when he got ready to walk away, the mother and the father were both armed and they followed him. And the suspect then took the gun from the wife and pointed at her. And then the husband shot the suspect. That was bad all around because had they not followed him, this wouldn't have happened. And I'm going to tell you, and I can't believe that this husband allowed that man to take the gun from his wife.
I know. You know? I was just reading that part too. And this is a lot of ups and downs in this particular story. You said it. You definitely hit it on the head where I was going to go. If the gentleman was shot at the window. Again, it all depends on the state, right? It all depends on the state. And this is Texas. So Texas, your home is your castle. They definitely recognize castle doctrine. So he's on private property at the window, and he's masturbating in front of his kid's window. If they would have shot him there, then it probably wouldn't have made the news outside of the fact of the masturbation part, right? Just another,
right.
They could have said he was probably breaking or whatever. But the fact that, you know, he was approached and he walked away and they followed him across the street to the gas station, both of them with guns. And I can understand that to a certain, I can understand that as a parent. I'm taking a firearm out of it. This person was just in front of my kid's window. I need to know who this guy is. This is a potential possible pedophile. You know, I don't care if he's drunk or not. I need this person to not show up at my door again. Because if they show up at my door, law enforcement, if y'all don't do your job, I'm going to have to do it for you. You know, so I could understand, I guess, as a parent, following that guy to make sure that he don't just go away while, hey, I'm on the phone with 911. But the part that I don't get was, remember what we learned, right? When I tell this to all my students, it's always who calls 911 first. It's two of them. At what point are any of them going to call 911 before they chased? Let me not say chase because it wasn't really a chase before they followed. They don't have cell phones. They just, where's the kid? They just leave the kid in the house. There's so much questions to be asked here, but, you know, the part where is it a justifiable shoot? Unfortunately, it's probably going to rule yes, because now it's going to be, why did you shoot him? They didn't shoot him when they trailed him across the street. They didn't shoot him at the gas station. Apparently, they tried to detain him, and he was able to wrestle the gun away from the mom and then pointed it back at her. So was it a gun already pointed at him?
And he shot her?
Didn't
he? Yeah.
Oh, I thought he shot her.
Hold on.
No, so he just pointed at him, and that's when the dad shot him.
Oh,
no,
okay.
he didn't get a shot off. Yeah, but at that point, everything else is before. Now he's a threat because a gun is pointed at him.
Let's back up, Dwayne. When he apologized and walked away in the state of North Carolina, he's no longer the aggressor. Now the couple who followed him in the state of North Carolina, now he's the aggressor. Now the couple is the aggressor. And, So that's it. In the state of North Carolina, I would have to follow that one and see what happened.
Yeah, and in the state of Texas, you know, Texas have stand your ground, and stand your ground doesn't only apply to your home. You know, in the state of Texas, depending on the county, that's why I think it's Harris County, it says they're trying to determine if any charges will be filed, you know. He didn't die. He remained stable. So it's a lot of emotion in the air. I think, me personally, should they have followed? As a parent, I'm probably going to be like, babe, what the hell was that? Of course, a lot more graphic language. And I definitely would have drew my gun and went outside of my house with my firearm because it's nighttime and you're in my kid's window. Yeah, my window, I'm thinking you're about to bust into my kid's window. I'm like, yo, what the hell are you doing? I'm not going to go out guns a-blazing shooting because, again, I need to know the law of Virginia, just like North Carolina, is a little bit different than Texas. But as soon as he walks away, you know, my wife or somebody else is on the phone, 911, right? And do I follow or do I just have a really good description that I can give to the reporting officer? Because what if they followed and this was an ambush or a trap, you know? What if they followed him behind the gas station and it was five other dudes behind the gas station?
What if they followed him and he just turned around and shot him?
Exactly, you know? Or what if the plan was to get the parents from the house and now the kid is kidnapped because, human trafficking is real. It's a real thing.
Right.
Let's get these parents away. So there's so much questions. The only thing that only reason why I would say that it can be labeled as a good shoot, and that's if nothing else applies, is the fact that the dad reacted to the gun being pointed at them. But they were also willing participants. So you're a willing participant, but you're also the threat, and you're also the victim, because you absolutely hit it. And a lot of listeners that's listening is probably not going to like it, but when you really analyze this per the law, you hit it right on the head, Kia. They became the aggressors when he walked away. And that's the crazy part, you know? And I know anytime anything's involved with the kid, we go straight to the emotional tie-in, and we're like, no, he did this to the kid, but the reality is he apologized and walked away. That's an interesting one. Not Dwayne's mom, thank you for calling in and putting that in front of us.
I definitely
want
to follow that one. But she asked a question, and we need to answer that. She said, what else could they have done other than shoot? Well, you know, you could taser. You know, things like that. But, again, in this situation, the way it played out, I guess, like you said, it's like, yeah, as a parent, yeah, I want to follow them, you know, but home safety first. How do I know it wasn't more than one person? You know.
Exactly. You know,
we got another caller.
It was nighttime.
Let's see. Hold on.
Okay, we got another caller. All right.
Yep, hold on.
All right, call a
caller.
What's going
calling.
On, caller?
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Ma'am.
Yes?
Is this not Dwayne's mom again?
Yeah, this is not Dwayne's mom.
I get two calls, and I mean, this not Dwayne's mom called twice in a night. Okay, so what do you think of the
Okay, now that I get the full story from you guys, because that's not what the news said. I agree with everything that y'all were saying, but at the same time, I think y'all need to tell that mother she needs to go to one of y'all training. Because
I agree. You're right about that.
From her. And then what was she doing? You know, and
you know
he probably took the law into his hand, both of them. You know, as you said, they should have gotten a proper description of him. Take a picture. You have phones. And do it. But they become now because he walked away. And once he walked away, he walked from them and they went towards him. But I think we need to reach out to them and tell them they need to take y'all training. Because if it didn't come to y'all training, that man would have never gotten the gun from her.
And I don't want to – you're absolutely right not doing mom. And I also don't want to – you know, we don't know what actually happened in the moment. But when I first read this, I was like, she tussled with him as the dad went in to get help. That's the part I don't understand. There's no way I'm doing that with my wife, you know, and I don't want to make this, you know, change the story or anything like that, but I'm going to be the one outside pointing the gun at the threat as my wife go inside. Yeah, you know?
Of course. Why? Maybe the wife was a better shooter?
Who knows?
Okay, I'm not saying so because the wife, because it could look sexist, but the point is, you are the head of the family in a way. You know you're the instructor. You know. So it would be go inside and call 911 whilst I hold the gun or do something with this gentleman. Why would you subject your wife to that? You know? Maybe the wife is mother. But I think maybe something that y'all probably can read up on more about it because I just threw it out there and I didn't know it was like that. And elaborate a little bit more on it because it's very, very interesting.
I want to definitely follow that story and see what happens.
Because, you know, there's probably listeners like me. I've been listening from day one because he sent it to me every Wednesday. And I said, oops. And I've been listening and I've never said anything. So there might be a lot of listeners out there that just don't say anything. But I had to bring that up. And he also about when the little boy got shot or something. There was a story a couple of years ago about that same, something similar to that way the dispatcher, the lady called and said there's this little kid outside waving a gun around. And it never went to the police that it might be a water gun or a whatever gun. And when the police came to put it down, he still waving it, and he shot the police, shot the guy. And it was a black, this black thing and the other. The message did not go to the responding cops. It said it might be a toy gun. All he heard, the child outside waving a gun around, and it was a big boy. So he was bigger than his age. And when the police came to put it down, he keep waving it, and the cop eventually shoot him. And instead of they tried to go it in a way, it become black versus cop. I don't remember if y'all heard about that, but that's a few years ago.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something similar to what you were saying, you know. So that's it, good night.
But we definitely appreciate you calling in.
She gave us some good topics tonight.
Yeah, right?
If it never happened again.
You have to call in every week with a story. You have to call in every week and give us some ideas to talk about.
What are you doing, Kia?
What did y'all do to Sarge?
I don't know. I think not Dwayne's mom really likes to hear Sarge. Sarge, if you're on there,
we need Sarge to call in and make sure next week because everybody likes Sarge. So,
yeah.
Well, not Dwayne's mom. Would you like to stay on the line with us as I finish up this list so you can give input? We would love for you. No. I think you should definitely stay on the line.
Okay, I'll stay on the line.
All right, not joining his mom. But, no, Kia, I think what you said is definitely right. I think that, you know, they. I think that's what our listeners need to hear more. You became a willing participant. Depending on your state, North Carolina, you went from victim to aggressor. In Virginia, the same. Some of our neighboring states, the same. There's very few states like Texas that would allow that situation to play out and they not be charged with anything. So listeners, if y'all did hear about this story, you know, that, I think that's a good example of when you just allow your emotions to completely dictate how you react. And I want to say, as a parent, I can understand that emotion. But once you throw a firearm in there, I want to say you have to be prepared to deal with the outcome of youth, including that firearm. I always tell my student, you know, one of the things that you need to do before you leave your house with your gun, you have to ask yourself and let yourself tell yourself, hey, today may be the day I have to utilize this firearm. Am I ready for that? And if your answer is no, you may have to leave your gun at home, because you're probably going to make some bad decisions if you haven't come to terms with that. You may end up in that black,
well,
right?
Here's a thought, Dwayne.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to good old tail whoopings, like beat them down or something? You know, what happened to that?
Yeah.
I would drag you down the road. Like, let's take it back to the old school where we just get a bat or something. Like, I don't.
Ball bat.
Yeah.
Baseball bat. Beat them down. It would have been much better because, what? I don't know. I might have done the same thing, too, but I might have shoot him at the window.
That right there is understandable. That's why she don't do guns, because she would shoot everyone. But in the state of Texas, that is understandable. You know, in a lot of states, they can possibly, that result would have made more sense than the latter. Or what happened after, right? Because it's at the scene. Hey, why'd you shoot him? I just saw this big dude masturbating in front of my window. I didn't know what was happening next. I thought he was going
to
break in and do something.
Then you wouldn't have nothing
to with.
We're
about
to
mute the caller. Folks, we don't do this kind of violence on our show, typically. not Dwayne's mom. She's throwing some stuff out there. But no, yeah, it's one of those situations. I'm definitely going to follow this as well, Kia, so that way I'll keep us in the loop for the next couple of shows so we can kind of know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But going back to my list, you know, y'all not letting me finish my list. Y'all know I love my list. I got up to your gun's going to be seized. So in that situation, guess what? Their gun was probably seized because it's evident. And then, number three, you're going to be interrogated at the scene and at the police station. But Key already gave you listeners the answers to that. When they ask you, hey, not Dwayne's mom, what happened? Or Kia, what happened? Your answer should be, I feared for my life. I'm willing to cooperate, but not until I have my lawyers. Don't let them twist your words, because it's easy to twist your words. And a lot of times, it's not the cop that you have to be worried about. It's the fact that everything you tell this cop, he writes down, him or her writes down in your notepad, which ends up at the district attorney's or ends up at the office. You know, and number four, if you don't already have one, you will need to hire a lawyer and fast. A couple shows ago, Kia brought up firearm insurance. You know, not a lot of listeners think that that's a thing that they should invest in until they do. I'm pretty sure this couple don't have firearm insurance, right? And if they do, hopefully they do, dependent on how the situation is viewed, they may now be protected. They may now be granted a lawyer. But like Kia said, it depends on if they're looked at as the aggressor, depending on your firearm insurance. If you're a willing participant, they may not cover you because you interjected yourself into a situation and you can't really say you feared for your life. So that is number four. So that's where firearm insurance come in. Look it up and get you one that fits you and your family. Number five, you may have to post bail or bond. That's where that firearm insurance come in. And number six, the DA will gather police reports to make a charging decision. This is where that cop coming up to you say, hey, Mrs. Not Dwayne's mom, what you did there was great. If that was me, I would have done the same thing. And then Not Dwayne's mom is going to say, well, he's lucky that's all he got because I would have chopped off his penis. And not even realizing, cop is writing everything down. It goes right back to the DA, and then it's going to get regurgitated during trial, right? So so those are just some of the things that, you know, I felt our listeners to know. When it comes down to if they're ever in a situation to where they do have to utilize their firearm, I think tonight we touched on a lot of good topics. T, I really love the fact that you brought up the toy gun thing, because there's a lot of articles out there, man, that speaks to not just a cop shooting someone with a toy, you know, because they drew a toy gun, but there's also articles of someone defending themselves or thinking they have to defend themselves and shooting someone because of a toy gun. That's crazy. You know, imagine you're at a park. Huh?
How would the cop know that it's a toy gun? You know,
they don't. And outside of the cop, how would a regular civilian know? If I'm out and about, Kia, if you're out and about and somebody runs up on you with what is a toy gun and you can't identify it, you just said it took y'all a couple minutes before y'all could even identify one. This is split decision. You're drawing your firearm and you're taking a shot because you fear for your life in that moment. And now it's a sad situation because guess what? It's a toy gun. Does that put you at fault for not knowing? Or does that put them at fault for making a stupid decision? You know, that's a dumb decision that just got your life taken. So, folks, don't play with a toy gun. Don't point guns at people. If it's a water gun, that's different. If it's an obvious, remember the word is obvious, Nerf gun, that's different. You're playing. But guess what you also don't do? You also don't point water guns or Nerf guns at strangers.
Okay.
You know, growing up
in
my country,
you know where we come from, right? Toy guns is illegal in St. Vincent.
Folks, did you hear that? My mom is from St. Vincent, the Caribbean islands, and toy guns are illegal out there. I had no idea of that.
I didn't know that, which you probably can check it up to confirm it, until I took Jamal home and I was taking two water guns. And when I got to the airport, they took them away and told us we're illegal.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I think one was in his suitcase and we got that one. And the other one that they took from the airport and put into a box from America to St. Vincent, they took that one away from us. That one we couldn't carry on the plane, but they took that away. But I got away one because one was in the suitcase. And they didn't search my luggage.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
But that
that
was years ago, and it's something that, you know, that we can look up to, look into. I think I take Sarge's position over tonight.
No. You did. And I'm so enjoying you.
Oh, man.
For someone who doesn't like guns, you sure are a wealth of knowledge.
I know, right? Because she sits in the back, and she wants to. I know. She's curious.
No, I'm not.
But she's standing her firm ground.
No, the honest truth about a gun, to which I learn a lot from y'all, I always say, if I ever own a gun and you come to me with a gun, it's either you or me. And in that way, I'm not going dumb, so you're going to go. And I see a lot of people ask me,
I know that's right.
No, and it's true. And sometimes I understand what cops does, because you pull a gun at me, I don't want to die. I have my family to go back home to. And you pull a gun at me, you're going down. And I would never own a gun for that reason.
Because she will be shooting everyone, Kia. She will be taking out everyone.
Trust me, there's a lot of people that are that I think need to go down.
Oh, God. Mom, do not incriminate yourself on this show. Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
Don't talk crazy on this show, Not Dwayne's mom, okay?
Oh, my gosh, I love Not Dwayne's mom.
You know, you let the world know you have a crazy mom.
Yeah, no, I definitely do.
You just have to grace us with your presence at least twice a month. Can you at least call in twice a month?
But you know, when I spoke about my 5-year-old grandson, right? I got mad with Dwayne about that too. We were on the porch talking, and a topic about came up, and his response was, I think he was with his father. We were on the porch talking, and he said something, and I said, oh, my God, is that really Chase? So what Dwayne is saying is kind of, I've never been around them like that, but I listened to him, and I said, how you know that? And he said, Uncle teach me that. So whatever he is teaching him is, you know, is working. And I think it was like they shouldn't play with guns. Guns are dangerous. And
play with guns.
Like that. I don't want
to. But that's good, Dwayne. Good job.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Good job. Yay. Thank you, not Dwayne's mom. He's trying to take over the show. Where is Elliot when you need him? Where is Elliot? Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying. I miss Elliot tonight.
Oh, man. But no, not Dwayne's mom. Thank you for calling in. I definitely appreciate you calling in and gracing us with your presence, because I did hear about the story, but I didn't think about, you know, talking about it because I didn't know much about it. I just heard somebody, you know, got shot because they were playing with themselves. And I was like, oh, hilarious.
I saw the witness the father catch him and he just shoot him right there on the spot. That's the impression I got from the headline, you know? And
yeah.
So until you all clarify different things. But that is something that is like, it's good for listeners to know eventually if you all keep a tab on it and know where it go from there.
But, you know, you also did something
think?
that sparked my mind too, not Dwayne's mom. It's listening, right? Because that is the problem with how we all absorb media, right? I'll absorb it one way. Somebody else will absorb it another way. But every single channel is kind of telling it a little bit different. And instead of us talking about it and kind of getting the pieces here and there and unraveling it ourselves, we're letting the media outlet that we prefer dictate our emotions on a particular topic. So I'm pretty sure when some people heard, you know, what did you say?
I said media does not. They give you just this, and when you listen to it, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, absolutely. So... yeah, no, that is a definite truth. You know, the media would definitely play the story to benefit whatever agenda is, and you all know that us here on I was about to say Bloke Talk. Us here at
Point Blank.
I know I'm too busy laughing before I can get it out. You know, we believe in some conspiracies, y'all. We believe that everything is designed for a reason around these parts. So the media definitely tells it how they need it to be instead of how it actually happened. So I do want to say thank you, not Dwayne's mom, for, again, bringing this to our attention and having an open mind like you do every week, because, you know, I would talk to you about one particular thing. You ask me a question, and I'll fill it in. I'll ask you a question. And I think that's definitely something that's important is, folks, take the time and talk to each other, whether it's about firearms, whether it's about race, religion. Take time and talk about to each other about what's going on, because if we do, we'll realize there's a lot of BS being shoveled our way, and the masses are absorbing all of this BS because we're not taking the time to talk to each other. So that's all I got. That's me coming off my soapbox.
One last thing. I think when you speak about a safe place in the house, I think that might be a topic that y'all could bring back up later on down there, because, you know, at first I didn't understand what you were saying, and, you know, and I tried to put a brother in New York, and I don't think he understands, because he said, nowhere in my house is safe, and everything like
that. Yeah, you know, she called me, not Dwayne's mom called me so mad about us saying that we don't lock our guns, but she didn't understand what we meant. So you know what? I think I would love to revisit that, because I would love for the listeners to hear and get exactly what you meant when you say you don't lock your guns up. You know, I think that's something that we can touch on.
Yeah, there's something
that
you all can touch back on, because sometimes the second time is clearer than the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think here? You want to let not Dwayne's mom take us out for this last 20 seconds?
Yes, we're going to definitely let not Dwayne's mom take us out.
All right. Not Dwayne's mom. Tell us who's the best show that you've been listening to every Wednesday.
I don't even know the show name.
Have a good night, everybody. Have a really good night.
Good night.
I speak to y'all again now that I get courage.
Yes.
All right, yeah, we'll expect to hear you. Call us.
Good night.
Good night, Kia. Good night, Nat Dwayne's mom.